And what's the draw for photographers?
I think there's several. The geology of the Red Desert is unexpected, and it's been held quiet for so long. And a lot of people have gone through the Red Desert on I-80, but you're going through really the most mundane areas of it, at least geologically and visually. But on either side, you know, just a few miles away, it's visually much more stunning. And there's some really interesting features. There's some relatively unique features. And there's also biologically some unique animals in there, desert elk and
the only herd of them in the whole country.
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what's interesting about the Red Desert, because we think of it as this very untamed, wild, vast place. And it is, with hundreds of species of unique animals and plants. But it's also very developed, with lots of roads and a very productive mineral extraction industry throughout the desert.
Absolutely. The Red Desert, because of some of the very special features of it, to me, there's a lot of sacred land out there. We seem in this country to have lost a sense of the sacred.
And what makes it sacred to you?
And that's certainly subjective. But I would say part of it is actually even the energy that a person, a human, gets when in the presence of some of the elements that are in the desert or in any landscape. And we just don't seem to have that sense of sacred. In other words, it seems to me that money, power, and energy have become the sacred for our culture, and that's a sad thing.
So how are you trying to represent the Red Desert in your photography? If it is, on the one hand, this wonderful, wild place, and on the other hand, this developed place?
I'm just simply trying to document what's there and not make judgments through my photography and let whoever views the photographs to make their own judgments based on hopefully the visual communication that the images are, but also, of course, it's going to be based on their predispositions towards the subject of development in the Red Desert.
So a well pad or a road, you're not going to edit that out?
Oh, no. No. I definitely have been including that. When it's there, it's there. And if it's somewhat in the way of other visual items or even right next to it, there's some really nice little buttes in there that are real subtle, but they're very attractive. And they may have a well pad right at the base of it. So, sometimes I'll include it. I'll probably shoot images that include it if it makes sense to include it, if it's part of the landscape as I see it.
Now, most of us don't have access to airplanes for taking pictures like you do. You do aerial photography. But many of us go out into wild areas and see remarkable things to photograph, but it's so big that I sometimes wonder, how do I fit this in my camera lens? What tips can you give for photographing landscapes that don't have obvious subjects in them or that are just so vast that they're hard to figure out what to take the picture of?
The landscapes of Wyoming lend themselves so wonderfully to wide panoramic type of images. And when I shoot most of my landscapes, I determine how much of the landscape I want to include. If the height of the image is going to include a lot of things in the foreground that I don't want, and perhaps a lot of things in the sky that I don't want, then I'll zoom in a lot tighter and I'll create a multi-image panoramic composite. So I can sew them together and create one long image, which ultimately becomes a real wide angle image. It's just a thin line, so you don't have a lot of sky and you don't have a lot of foreground.
Since you're zooming in for each individual image.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
Okay, so stitching together panoramic images. So that makes it sound like you don't necessarily need to go out with some monstrously wide-angle lens to photograph Wyoming.
No. To get a wide panoramic image, certainly of a ridgeline or even of the Snowies or the Tetons, can be done with a long lens. And by combining those images, then you create a wider and wider angle of view. And it takes a little bit more work to stitch it all together seamlessly, but it's fun. I've probably shot and stitched together 500 or 600 of these. Usually 4 or 5 images is usually what I shoot. You get into 7 or 8, and it's so long and thin, it's kind of tough to work with.
Well, Dan Hayward is going to present many of his images from his Red Desert series on September 26th at 7 o'clock at Central Wyoming College in Riverton, part of the Wyoming Association of Churches conference this year. Dan, thanks so much for talking with us and for the tips.
Oh, it's my pleasure.